Amen. All right. Well, let's take our Bible and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 20, Acts chapter number 20. And we're in our series, All In. And tonight we're going to be looking at a man with a funny name named Tychicus. And I'm pretty certain that that's how it's said because that's what the Bible app guy says as he reads the name. So if it's a different pronunciation, forgive me, but that is what he said, and I'm going with that. And I tried to find Scorby, but, well, Scorby would be the better one. But anyway, Acts chapter number 20, and if you would join me in standing as we read this passage. We'll just read verses 1 through 4 here. It says, verse number 1, "And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there abode 3 months, and when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return through Macedonia. And there accompanied him unto Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe and Timotheus. And of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus." All right, some interesting names in that verse there, but one of them is Tychicus, and we're going to be looking at his life tonight from the Word of God. Let's pray, and we'll continue on with the message. Lord, thank you for the time in your Word. Thank you for this man that we're going to be studying tonight. And while there's not a lot in the Bible about him, what it does say speaks tremendous volumes about his life and the fact that he was all in for you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to learn some lessons from his life tonight that we could implement and apply to our lives that would help us to be effective servants for you. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So in this series, All In, we've been looking at dedicated believers in the New Testament, and we've looked at several already. We've looked at Aquila, Priscilla. We've looked at Barnabas, Stephen, Philip, Onesiphorus. We've talked about Silas. We looked at Timothy. We've looked at the man by the name of Titus. We had last Sunday night, John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, and now a man with a strange name, but who was also very much in all in for the Lord, named Tychicus. So hopefully I keep saying it right as we go through the message. I'm going to usually call him and he. That's a lot easier, but Brother Tychicus was all in for the Lord. Now, one thing that I want to make clear as we get into this message tonight is that you do not have to be a big namer to be all in for the Lord. Being dedicated and committed to the cause of Christ is essential for each and every child of God. All of us can and should be all in for the Lord. And Tychicus wasn't necessarily a big namer in the New Testament, but there's no doubt about it. He was all in for Christ. Now, churches are filled and fueled by the many who are faithful, those who can be counted upon, those that fight the good fight behind the scenes. Good churches are filled by the unsung volunteers, the diaper changers, the prayer warriors, the chair stackers, the kitchen workers, the Sunday school teachers, the AV ministry workers up there in the perch, the outreach volunteers, and the list could go on and on by those who keep church going. These are the workers. These are the soldiers. These are the privates. You might think, well, but Pastor, I don't want to be a private. I mean, just a private. I want to be a general. I want to have the stars and the fancy uniform, and I want the attention and the power and the influence in the church. I want to be a general. Well, I want to share a quick story from the life of General Eisenhower. General Eisenhower once rebuked one of his own generals for referring to a soldier as just a private. He reminded them that the army could function better without its generals than it could without its foot soldiers. He said, if this war is going to be won, it will be won by privates. And as the spiritual battle for the souls of men is won in the church, it's going to be won by the privates, by the servants. And tonight we come to such a man. He wasn't necessarily a superstar in the New Testament. He probably wouldn't be on people's list of, okay, tell me your top three favorite Bible characters. Probably most people would not say Tychicus. Number one, it's hard to say. But number two, he's just not, there's not a lot in there about him. Most people would pick, you know, people like David and people like Joseph and Paul and others like that. But here we come to a servant who is absolutely essential in the work of God. He was mission critical for the work of God there in the first century. And we can learn a lot from what the Bible does say about this man, lessons that will help us fulfill our role in the work of God in the 21st century. So he was mission critical for the ministry, for the work of God in the first century. Well, we're not in the first century anymore. We're in the 21st century. So, but maybe we could learn some lessons from his life that will help us to be effective and an effective soldier, an effective private, effective servant of God for the Lord's sake. Colossians 4 and verse 7, here's one of the references that he's mentioned in just a few verses in the New Testament. But Colossians 4 and verse 7 is one of them. And he says, Paul does, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister, and here it is, and fellow servant in the Lord. Now, Paul didn't consider himself, you know, a superstar, a general, although I think you can make a case that he was in some ways like that. But he viewed himself as a servant, and he looked to Tychicus as a fellow servant, but he was a servant. And he was an incredible servant who was used greatly by God. Now, what kind of servant was he that made him so invaluable to the cause of Christ? And tonight I want to look at some qualities of his life that hopefully we would learn from and apply to our lives that would help us to be effective in the 21st century. So first, let's notice here that he was a flexible servant. Flexible? So this means he could bend over and touch his toes and do the splits and all of those things. Well, maybe. We don't have that in the Greek to find out if he could do those things or not. But what I mean by the word flexible is that he was willing to do whatever was necessary for the gospel to continue going forward. And I want to consider some of the things that are mentioned in the scriptures about him. Now, the first time he's mentioned in the Bible is the text here in Acts chapter number 20, when he gets picked up by the Apostle Paul and on one of the legs of the third missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. When he at least followed from Greece to Asia, and to be a part of a missionary journey with the Apostle Paul was no, you know, boring adventure, kind of humdrum situation. When you read through the book of Acts, it is action-packed. I mean, there is the tremendous highs of seeing people saved and transformed by the gospel, and tremendous lows with being put into prison and being stoned and left half dead. I mean, there was, and everywhere in between, it was a roller coaster of events. And here, Tychicus was willing to partake and be a part of that journey. And then he was also then sent to two churches with the mission of informing the believers in both of these churches regarding Paul's welfare in prison and to comfort their hearts. And let's jump over real quickly to Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians 6, and he says in verse number 21 to the church at Ephesus, he says, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Okay, so here in the book of Ephesus, the letter to the Ephesians, Paul says, hey, I've sent Tychicus, for the purpose of kind of giving you an update on how I'm doing so that you're not, you know, back home going, how is Paul doing? I heard he's in prison and oh no. And Tychicus was there with the Apostle Paul in Rome. And so he sends Tychicus with the letter to the Ephesian believers to encourage them and to comfort their heart and to tell them, hey, Paul's okay. He's in prison, but he's okay. He's doing fine. Well, that wasn't the only church that that Paul sent him to. If you go to Colossians chapter number 4, so just a couple books over to the right, Colossians chapter 4 in verse number 7. So once again, very similar passage, very similar verbiage here that Paul uses to the church at Colossae. He says, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant of the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. So he wanted to kind of figure out how they were doing and maybe give word back to the Apostle Paul, but also to encourage them. So, and one of the things that's not necessarily mentioned in the scriptures, but in the little subtitle or the footnote at the end of each of these books, if the Bible has footnotes at the very end of Colossians chapter number 4 and verse 18, my Bible has written from Rome to the Colossians by, there's this man, Tychicus and Onesimus. Now remember, Onesimus was one of the slaves that got saved, and Philemon, that's the whole reason the book of Philemon was written, so that Philemon would receive Onesimus back as not just a slave, but as a brother in Christ. But here the letter was sent from Paul by Tychicus. So he said, okay, I want you to take this letter, Tychicus, and I want you to go and to deliver this to the church at Colossae. Same thing back in Ephesians. If you go to Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 24, on the very underneath that, it says, written from Rome unto the Ephesians by Tychicus. If you happen to have that in your Bible, I don't know. It's not necessarily scripture per se, but it just gives us a little insight as to how the letter got from Rome to the church at Ephesus. It was because Tychicus hand delivered it. It wasn't like he emailed it. Couldn't do that. He couldn't scan it in, and he didn't want to trust the mail system back then. Okay, he had to hand deliver it, and that was a difficult thing. Okay, so, and then let's go to Titus chapter number 3. Titus chapter number 3. Actually, on your way to Titus chapter 3, let's take a pit stop here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse number 12. Here, Paul is asking for Timothy to come visit him in prison, but he mentions where everybody else has gone. He talks about Demas forsaking him. He says, Cretans went to Galatia, Titus went to Dalmatia, only Luke is with me, take Mark. And then verse 12, he mentions, and Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. So Tychicus was sent to Ephesus maybe a second time to be there as kind of a help and maybe the pastor there for a little while. I don't know, because this is later on. This is much later after he goes and delivers that letter. I don't know, but it's possible that was the same trip. It could be separate. Okay, now let's go back to Titus 3 and verse number 12. When I shall send Artemas unto thee or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. So Tychicus was kind of on standby. He was one of the options that Paul was considering to go and send a help to Titus so that Titus could then be replaced and come and visit the Apostle Paul. So Tychicus was one of the two options that Paul had in mind. And he, in other words, here it is. Every time we see Tychicus's name, he was actively serving and he was doing various different things. He was willing to be flexible. Now, flexibility is one of the most important qualities for those in the ministry. And again, I'm not just talking about, can you do the splits? Because no, I cannot. But we need to be flexible with different things in the ministry for the Lord and not be so, you know, Baptist is kind of the polar opposite of being flexible, because Baptists don't like to change. And for some good reasons, we don't like to change our doctrine, and we don't want to change our doctrine. But we also need to be willing to be flexible so that the work of God can continue, to be willing to pivot and do what is needed at that moment for the cause of Christ. Whatever is needed, and Tychicus was like, hey, whatever you need me to do, if it's go and comfort a church family, go ahead and send me. Here am I, send me. If it's going to relieve somebody so that they can come visit you, I'm available. Like, please, let me do it. If it's carrying a hand, delivering a letter that you wrote, Paul, to the church at Ephesus or the church at Colossae, sign me up. I'm willing to do it. See, what I mean is he was not just a servant, but he was a flexible servant. He was willing to kind of do whatever, and things kind of tweaked and changed. And he wasn't like, nope, I'm your messenger boy and that's it. No, he was willing to be a minister. He was willing to be a missionary. He was willing to be a minister and to minister to the Apostle Paul while he was in prison. Whatever was necessary at that moment, he was willing to do. Can I ask all of us tonight, are we willing to be flexible for the Lord's sake? Or do we have these things in mind that I will or will not do? I'm willing to do everything so long as I don't have to serve in the nursery. And I thank God for our nursery workers, and I really appreciate each and every lady who serves and in that ministry. But that ministry is growing a little bit, and that's a blessing. Well, we need to fill that. Well, nope, I'm not willing to do that. Okay, well, then you're not a flexible servant. And I know maybe some who have medical issues and things like that, and I get some of those things. But if we just have an unwilling heart, what I'm trying to say is tonight, we need to be a flexible servant like Tychicus was. If Tychicus was in the church, I think he would have had the heart to say, hey, I'll change the diaper. Now, we don't have men work in the nursery, but he would have said, well, I'm willing to if you need to, Pastor. If you decide to let men in there, I'll do it. And if he was Tychicus, if he was a lady, you know, he would say, let whatever is necessary for the work of God to continue. And we have babies, more babies coming. And praise the Lord for that. Well, we're going to need to keep that staffed well. So if it's serving the nursery, if it's passing gospel tracts out, I'm willing to do it. It may be a little out of my comfort zone. I imagine there was things that Tychicus did that maybe he wasn't as comfortable with as others, but he was willing to do it. He was flexible. What about giving my life to serve the Lord with my entire life as a full-time minister of the gospel, maybe a missionary? Next week we have missions conference. These individuals surrender their lives to go and be a missionary. That is something that God is still calling people to do. And I want us all to have that mentality that, Lord, wherever you lead me, I'm willing to follow. We just sung a moment ago, where he leads me, I can hear my Savior calling, take thy cross and follow me. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him part of the way, so long as it doesn't mean this, right? No, Tychicus was, I'll go with him all the way, whatever it costs, whatever it takes, whatever it costs me, I'm willing to do. Andrew Murray said this, and you might think, boy, if I have that type of surrender, if I have that type of, you know, like I'm willing to give the Lord everything. If I have that, that's a little scary. Well, here's what Andrew Murray said, and I believe it to be absolutely true. God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him. You're yielding your life. If you do this, like Tychicus did, you're putting your life in the hands of the Lord. And guess what? He is perfectly capable of taking care of us. Much better than we could take care of ourselves. So what are you waiting for? Let's be flexible servants like Tychicus was, whether it was ministering to a church, whether it was going and potentially being a pastor of a church, or taking over for Titus, or delivering these letters, or whether it was ministering to the Apostle Paul in prison. Didn't matter. Let me at it. I'm willing to do it. Whatever you want me to do, whatever you need me to do, Paul, I'm willing to do it. So he was a flexible servant. But then I see, secondly, in this, in the scriptures here regarding his life, that he was a favored servant. He was, I don't know if Paul had a list of his favorites, but if he did, Tychicus would have been on that list and probably somewhere toward the top of that list. I imagine that Timothy was up there for sure, but Tychicus was absolutely there. If you go to back to Ephesians 6 and then Colossians 4, let's look at both of these passages very quickly, because this is mentioned twice in this particular, in each of these instances. Ephesians 6, 21, it says, "But they may know that you also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother," a beloved brother. And then if you go to Colossians chapter 4, again, Colossians 4 and verse number 7, "All my state shall Tychicus declare to you, who is a beloved brother." So he was a brother to the Apostle Paul in Christ, but, you know, we all have, you know, brothers in Christ, but not everybody necessarily might be a beloved brother. But Tychicus was a beloved brother to the Apostle Paul. He said, "Boy, I love this brother. He's a blessing to me. He is a friend to me." Tychicus was one of Paul's favorite companions, and I believe it was because he ministered to Paul while he was in Rome. When he was there in prison, because it wasn't easy, it wasn't glamorous to be involved in prison ministry at that point. And prison ministry is not always a glamorous thing to be a part of, but certainly not in the first century. There was risk involved. There was, hey, you're one of his friends. There was risk of him being arrested potentially. But Tychicus was there as one of his companions, keeping him company, being a blessing. He was a good friend. The Bible talks about a friend quite a bit. Proverbs 17:17, the Bible says, "A friend loveth at all times, the good times and the not so good times. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Proverbs 27 and verse number 6, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceit." A couple other references. Proverbs 27:17, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." And Tychicus was that kind of a friend to the Apostle Paul, and I'm sure it was reversed as well, that Paul was a blessing to Tychicus. I mean, being around the Apostle Paul would have been a tremendous, wonderful opportunity. But evidently, Tychicus wasn't just thankful to be around the Apostle Paul. He also contributed to the friendship by sharpening the Apostle Paul as well. Well, then Proverbs 18:24, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend, praise the Lord, that sticketh closer than a brother." And that's a reference to the Lord Jesus. But if we want to have friends, now there's a good many people who whine and complain about how they don't have any friends. And this I've heard in church before. "I just can't make any friends. There's just nobody here for me." And I understand to a point their plight, but here's my encouragement to those who say they don't have friends and they're struggling to develop that. Why don't you take it upon yourself to be a friend to someone in the church? You're saying, "Boy, I'm struggling to kind of find my place here at Cornerstone. I mean, I'm new here. It's hard to get to know people." And well, why don't you take it upon yourself? Now, like, I hope that our church family that's been around for a while looks for new people and those who the Lord's adding to the church and kind of embraces them and tries to get to know them and befriends them. But again, it's not just everybody else's responsibility to befriend me. maybe it's a little bit of my responsibility to befriend somebody else. And see, the greatest in the kingdom of God, remember, is not the one with the most people serving you or me. The greatest is the one serving the most. So let that be an encouragement for you to stop wondering when everyone is going to befriend you and go find someone to befriend. And Tychicus was one who gave to the Apostle Paul, and that's what I believe he was meaning when he said, he is my beloved brother. He's not just a brother. He's not just, hey, I'm thankful for his faith in Christ and the fact that he serves the Lord. There was a friendship. There was a benefit that Tychicus gave to the Apostle Paul. In May of 1947, in his first season with the Brooklyn Dodgers, Jackie Robinson, the first black man to play Major League Baseball, faced venom nearly everywhere he traveled. He faced fastballs at his head, spikings on the bases, brutal words from the opposing dugouts and from the crowds. During one game in particular in Cincinnati, the taunts and racial slurs seemed to reach a peak. In the midst of this, another Dodger, a Southern white named Pee Wee Reese, called timeout. He walked from his position at shortstop toward Robinson at first base. He put his arm around Robinson's shoulder and stood there with him for what seemed like a long time. The fans eventually grew quiet, and Robinson later mentioned that that arm around his shoulder at that moment totally saved his career. We need a bunch of Pee Wee Reese's, not just Reese's, the chocolate candy, okay? No, I'm not talking about that. And small ones, the Pee Wee's, does that mean what that means? No, we need a bunch of people that are willing to come and put our arm around somebody in the church who needs a friend. And I don't know about you, but there are times when I need a friend. I know I'm the pastor and I'm supposed to always be the friend to everybody else, but there's times when I need a friend too. We all are in that boat where, look, there's times where we need someone to put their arm around us and say, hey, I'm here for you. And remember the time when those three friends came to Job when he was going through serious suffering and affliction that we talked a little bit about this morning, their most effective friendship moment was when they just sat there for 7 days and didn't say a word and said, hey, we're here for you. Sometimes that's what being a friend is, hey, I'm here for you. I'm not going to try to like advise you through this. I'm just here for you. And I just love you. And I think Tychicus was that kind of a friend to the Apostle Paul. That's why he was such a favored servant. What kind of friend are you? What kind of servant are you? Are you a favored servant? People appreciate you. So he was a flexible servant. He was a favored servant. One more tonight. He was a faithful servant. He was a faithful servant. And both of these passages we've looked at in Colossians and Ephesians, that particular quality is mentioned as well. Colossians 4 and verse number 7, all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. And then back in Ephesians 6, it says, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. So he was faithful. By the way, when it came to delivering the letters of to Ephesus and Colossae, he fulfilled his task. He was trusted to do that. And he was able to be trusted to do that important task. And had he not been faithful, guess what? We wouldn't have the book of Ephesians. We wouldn't have the book of Colossians. We wouldn't have the passage that we learn about the role of the husband and wife in Ephesians that is so beautifully said in connection to the relationship between Christ and the church. We wouldn't have the passage regarding the whole armor of God that we do if Tychicus wasn't faithful. We wouldn't have the, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above passage in the book of Colossians. We wouldn't have the, that he may have the preeminence in all things passage in Colossians chapter 1. We wouldn't have these beautiful, wonderful passages of scripture if he wasn't faithful. So it was critical that he would be faithful, that he would be trusted to carry out his task and assignments. I want to encourage you real quickly here to turn to Proverbs chapter number 25. There's a couple of verses in this chapter that I want to highlight. Proverbs chapter number 25 regarding faithfulness. Two verses in this chapter, Proverbs 25 and verse number 13. Proverbs 25, 13, the Bible says this, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. I'm telling you, when we tell our children to do a certain chore and they do it well and they do it quickly with the right attitude, that refreshes our soul. But the opposite is true, okay? Not that it's ever happened in our home that one of our children would not do it quickly and the right way the first time. That has never happened. Okay, now I'm lying from the pulpit. Not a good thing to do. Obviously, our children are like other children, but when they do what they've been tasked to do, it refreshes the soul of their parents. And when God tells us and gives us an assignment, when we're faithful, it refreshes his soul. And so here it is. Paul, when he sent Tychicus to go do these things, he knew that he was going to carry them out, and he knew that the job was going to get done. He was faithful in the task that he was given. All right, so that's verse 13, but let's look at the other side in verse number 19. Verse number 19 says, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. So instead of being refreshing, it's like a broken tooth. Now, how many here have had one of your teeth chipped or broken? Would you raise your hand? Okay, a lot of us have. I have too. My front teeth right here is not real because I chipped it really bad when I was a kid, and I've shared that story. I won't go into it again. How many of you have had a sprained ankle or a broken foot or something of that nature? Would you raise your hand? Okay, a lot of you. How many of you have had to be on the scooter of shame? You know what I'm talking about? Yes. Okay. My wife was when we were in Montana. So confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like that. It's like a broken tooth. It's not pleasant. And a foot out of joint, well, that is extremely annoying because it messes your life up. And when you put your faith in someone who doesn't fulfill their task, it is frustrating. It is difficult. Tychicus was verse 13. He wasn't verse number 19 to the Apostle Paul. And which kind of servant are we? Are we a verse 13 type of servant, or are we a verse 19 type of a servant? Where people give us something and it's like, well, if I feel like it, I'll do it. If I'm feeling the vibe, if it's convenient, I'll do it. But, or if there's just like, hey, I'm going to fulfill this, you know, like the post office. And I know the postal service isn't perfect, but, you know, come rain, come snow, come sleet, come hail, they are going to deliver your mail. They're not going to, you know, they're going to fulfill that. Are we like that as we serve the Lord? Tychicus was sent to Ephesus, and he was sent by the Apostle Paul from Rome, and then potentially later, as Paul is imprisoned again, ready to go, ready to be departed. At any rate, he was sent over to that church, and that church was a very important church in the first century. And for the Apostle Paul to trust Tychicus to go and not only deliver these letters, but to be there and to minister to them meant a lot, that he was trusted in that way. So here again, we see someone in the scriptures who was dependable and faithful. Faithful. Listen to that word as I say that word again, a little slower this time, though. He was faithful. In other words, he was full of faith. And that's what helped him to become faithful and dependable, is that his eyes were focused on the Lord, and he had a great relationship with God, no doubt. See, in order to be faithful, one needs to be full of faith. And one of the key markers of someone who is all in for Christ is faithfulness. President Abraham Lincoln used the bulldog's tenacious grip to describe General Grant. He said, "The greatest thing about him is cool persistency on purpose. He has the grip of a bulldog. When he once gets his teeth in, nothing can shake him off." May the Lord help us to be faithful in our lives, faithful in our walk with God, our relationship with the Lord, that we're just growing in our faith and we're faithful to read God's word and spend time with him, to abide in Christ. And then we're faithful to our family. We're faithful to our church. We're faithful to the services here. That we just make this a priority. There's a quote that I put up in our Sunday school class, I think it was last Sunday, that says, "Let church be your excuse for missing everything else." Too many Christians use everything else to be an excuse for missing church. But the Lord is looking for Christians who would say, "Nope, church is more important than work, more important than any other appointment that I have," unless it's like, "I'm about to die and I need to go to the hospital right now." You can't say, "Well, I would go to the hospital, but I need to be in the church service." Obviously, let's use reason here. But be faithful to the house of God. Be faithful to give. Be faithful to serve. If you've been assigned a ministry and you've been given that task, be faithful to show up and be all in when you're there. Don't just go through the motions and kind of cut corners. This is the Lord's work. It's much more important than any type of other secular work that we could do. So we need to be faithful in that. We need to be also faithful at work. And we talked about that in our Glorify God at Work message. And by the way, God blesses faithfulness. I'll share a story that I've read, and it brings tears to my eyes almost every time I read it. It's about an elderly preacher. And one Sunday morning before the service, one of the key men in the church came to him and said, "Pastor," and this man was trying to rebuke the pastor. He said, "Pastor, something must be wrong with your preaching and your work. There's only been one person added to the church an entire year, and he's just a boy." The minister listened, and his eyes moistening and his thin hand trembling. He says, I feel it. I feel it all. But God knows I've tried to do my duty." And on that day, the minister's heart was heavy as he stood before his flock. As he finished the message, he felt a very strong inclination to resign. After everyone else had left, that one boy that was added that year came up to this preacher after the service and asked, "Do you think if I worked hard for an education, I could become a preacher? Perhaps a missionary?" Again, tears welled up in the minister's eyes. "Ah, this heals the ache that I feel," he said. "Robert, I see the divine hand now. May God bless you, my boy. Yes, I think you will become a preacher." Many years later, an aged missionary returned to London from Africa. His name was spoken with tremendous respect. Nobles invited him into their homes, and this man had been part of adding many souls to the Church of Jesus Christ, reaching even some of Africa's most savage chiefs. His name was Robert Moffat, the same Robert who years before had spoken to the pastor that Sunday morning in the old Scottish kirk. And Mr. Robert Moffat also was the father-in-law to the great African missionary David Livingstone. He didn't quit. God bless his faithfulness. You may not see it all right now, and you may not see all the blessings right this second, but God does promise to bless faithfulness. Lord, help us to be faithful. In Matthew chapter 25, as Jesus is speaking, he gives the story of the talents and to the servants and the servants and what they did with those talents. And those who invested them, those who used them for the glory of God, guess what? He said to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." We may not be successful. We may not be superstar Christians in like the celebrity type status. We may not have, you know, all these followers and have a little check mark next to our name on social media. But if we're faithful, one day we'll hear those words, good and faithful servant. I hope that I hear them. I'm striving for that. I hope you are too. One more story here. By all accounts, Edward Kimball was a really pretty normal man. He worked a normal job, attended a normal church. He even faithfully taught a normal Bible study class. But one day, a young man named Dwight visited his class. It was clear that Dwight didn't really know the Bible. So one Saturday, as Ed was preparing his Sunday school lesson, the Lord put a burden on his heart to visit the shoe store where Dwight worked and to share the gospel with that young man. That day, a Boston shoe clerk surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. The clerk's name was Dwight L. Moody. And he eventually became an evangelist and actually was used by God to shake two continents for Christ. So how can we, what can we learn from Edward Kimball? You don't have to be a superstar to be mightily used, to be mission critical for the work of God to go forward. Every one of us is important. We're all important members of this church. Just like you're not going to say tonight, well, you know what, my pinky, it's not all that valuable, so I'm just going to go ahead and remove it. No one would do that tonight. So why do we think that in a church, well, I'm not that important. I'm just a pinky in the church. If I take a hammer and get your pinky and I hit your pinky with that, you're not going to think it's an insignificant part of your body. Look, you are significant. Every one of us is. We're all needed for the work of God to continue here. We all need to do our part. We all need to take our place as servants of the Lord and to be flexible like Tychicus was. Whatever is needed, hey, I'm willing to do it. We need to be a good friend, a favored servant, and to look for those in among us who need a friend to be a good friend to them. Not just try to have a bunch of friends, but to be a good friend. And then to be faithful. Whatever God gives us that we're going to do with all our heart, and we're not going to quit until the job is done. Knowing that God does bless faithfulness. Tychicus, a man with a funny name. A man who is kind of in the background a little bit. But the reason he used them is because he was a flexible servant. He was a favored servant, and he was a faithful servant. Let's pray together tonight.